the three R's: redeemed, reconciled, and restored. Those are the three words that we're going to be walking through. And last week we looked at the word redeemed and the fact that Jesus Christ has bought us with a price. And now this week we're going to be looking at the fact that we can live a life of reconciled between us and our Creator. We are no longer separated. He's changed us. He's developed us. He is developing us so that He's brought us together and reconciled us together. Because for too long and for too often, we find ourselves simply going through the motions. Sometimes day, week, month, year after year, we look back upon our lives and we look back and think, what happened to the last decade? I'm coming to an age where I'm discovering that I can look back on things and go, that was 20 years ago. And they still fit. That's what I like. And you look at things and you look back and you think, what happened to the last decade? What happened to the time when I didn't have these distinguished wrinkles? In our lives, I don't want to live a life looking back upon regret. I want to look upon it and say, thank you, God, for what you've done. I don't want to look back and say, another year has gone, another time when I'm just going through the motions. I want to move forward in my relationship with God. In a moment, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless our time together as we open up His Word this morning. And where you're seated, where you are right now, I'm going to invite you to make a choice. To say, God, I'm going to listen to what you have to teach me today. I'm going to open up my heart to what you have for me so that I can make the change, that I can move forward in my relationship with you. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that as the Bible describes itself as quick and powerful and as sharp as a two-edged sword, Lord, I pray that it will be that very thing today, that it will break into our hearts. It will show us the areas of our life that you want to change, to develop. I pray that it will be what you want it to be, that you'll work in our hearts, that you'll use my words today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to get there in a few moments' time, the book of 2 Corinthians. In this book of Corinthians, there's two books. There's a 1 Corinthians and a 2 Corinthians. It was written by a man named the Apostle Paul. And when the Apostle Paul wrote this, he wrote it, actually the first book was a very, very hard-hitting book. He had to share some very difficult things with this church. And he had to tell them, you need to fix your problems, you have this sin in your church, you need to handle these things in different ways. And then the second book he was writing was a book of encouragement. He said, you've done well, you've taken care of this sin problem, you've taken care of this bad doctrine. Now I'm going to come alongside you and encourage you and to build you up and to give you some deep-seated theology behind just feeling good. Because if you think about this series, the fact that we are redeemed, we're reconciled, we're restored in our relationship with God, it can make us feel really good. And I hope that you leave from every single Sunday feeling good, but at the same time is not just to make you feel good, it's to come alongside you and to help direct us, to point in the right direction. The most encouraging fact that we find in this passage of 2 Corinthians is found in the verses, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 1 and verse number 6. And this is often used as the key verses for this entire book. And it says this, it's on the screen for you to follow, but if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to see it for yourself. It says this, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, what does it say there? We do not lose heart. We can be encouraged. Go down to verse number 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, who shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God, in the face of Jesus Christ. The most encouraging words that we find here is the fact that it points us back to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something today. Do you find that you struggle with your self-image? Do you find yourself sometimes struggling with some things of your past? When you look back upon your past and as soon as you think of yourself, where do you put yourself? You think of yourself often in the negative sense of, remember those things that I did, and you put in the date. Some of you will say, remember those things that I did back in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or 90s. And remember those things that I did, and you go, oh. I personally struggle with this, with confidence and with not just the fact, because I know the facts, the fact that God loves us and cares for us. He's redeemed us. He's reconciled us. He's restored us. But in my feelings, I don't always feel that close. And oftentimes when God has pulled me and encouraged me to move forward in something, rather than saying, yes, God, I'll do that for you, the little still small voice that's not God in my mind, it's the old nature going back and saying, Michael, remember when you did that? Do you think that a pastor would do that? I'm not telling you what it is. You think that, and you put yourself in there, remember when, and it's a horrible feeling, and it's stifling. But according to these verses here, it says there, we do not lose heart. That passage in 1 Corinthians, going back to the word redeemed, says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought with a price. To redeem something is to buy it. You were bought with a price. It says, so glorify God in your body. Today, we want to live not as the same as we were before. We want to live different lives. And every single Sunday here at Southwest Baptist Church, we have a principle that we want to help you to apply to your lives. And the principle is this for today. I am made new because of my relationship with God through Jesus. Let me read that again. I am made new because of my relationship with God through Jesus. Going back to the original Greek with that word reconcile, it has the understanding and the meaning to change, to make different. It's the change in relationship between God and us. It's a definite change. When Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sin and my sin, it made a change. We're no longer the same. It's a common phrase. The word reconciled is often used in the negative sense when we think of somebody. If you experience or read through divorces, they use the term irreconcilable differences. I'm unable to reconcile my differences with this individual, which could be a wide variety of things. People, when they come back into a relationship with one another, they say, we've been reconciled together. And I want you to think through that with your relationship with God this morning. And I hope it's an encouragement to you and really a challenge as you think through when God wants to change you and make you new. He doesn't just say, go and work it out by yourself. I'll see you later. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be the one doing the changing. I'm going to be one making you new. In this passage, we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 17 through 21. And this is going to be used as our outline this morning as we walk through the scripture together. And our goal for every single person here today is found actually in verse number 21. And it says there in verse number 21 of that passage, so that in him, that is in Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. That word righteousness means to be in right standing. The goal for every single one of us this morning is not to remain who we used to be, but now to become who we are in Christ, which is righteous, to be in right standing with God. So let's read those verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you've placed your trust upon Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says you are in Christ. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse number 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God, making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That verse number 17 again says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That word reconcile again means to make new, to change. We're going to change our relationship with our Creator. And I have 2 points this morning. 2 points that we will walk through together. The first one is reconciled for, and first of all, is a new relationship. We've been reconciled to God so that we can enjoy a new relationship with Him. Verse number 18 says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. With that new relationship, the Apostle Paul uses and teaches in other passages the fact that we now have a new account. Now, some of you with your bank accounts, you would like a new account. Please give me a new account. This one's already done. It's empty. I want a new full one. And you want a new account. Well, here, God teaches us through the Scripture about something that is made new. I'm going to teach you kind of a confusing word. It's the word imputation. It's a longer form of the word impute. And it's a theological term. It's not directly used in Scripture, but the principle is taught in Scripture. It's a banking term, and it quite literally means to put to one's account. When you go to the bank, and if you still do it the old-fashioned way, you walk into the bank with a thing called cash, and you stand in line and you hand it to the teller, and the teller puts in your account number and they put the money into your account. Now, there is no big, huge vault underneath the bank with your name on it with all your cash in it, which is kind of like probably what's underneath your bed right now is all your cash. There's no big vault underneath there. What they do is they put it in one huge vault and it on the account is reconciled to you or imputed to you. You now have an extra $100 in your account because you made the $100 deposit. That's the thought process here. In fact, if you're anything like me, I'm always double and triple checking any account numbers when I make deposits because I'm always making sure that they go into the correct account. There was a lady named Christine Lee, who in Sydney a few years ago was arrested at the airport trying to flee to Malaysia because the bank, I think it was Westpac Bank, had mistakenly put $4.6 million overdraft on her account. And she thought to herself, praise God. And before she was arrested, she spent $1 million of that on handbags and clothing, which I'm sure was difficult for some of us, but not for all of us. And the incredible thing was, she thought to herself, ah, it's mine. I can use it. I'm always double-checking accounts, making sure when I make a deposit that I put the correct account number on. In that passage in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 19, it says, not counting their trespasses against them. And what this is teaching is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God took the sins of the world, all the, as it says there, the trespasses, the sins that should be on your account, and Jesus Christ paid for all of them. And that is incredibly exciting. That passage, again, says, not counting their trespasses against them. Remember, this is not talking about the fact of those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is talking about people that do know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have been made new. But the sins of the world have been bought, they've been paid for, they've been imputed, they've been covered over. It's just a matter of us accepting that free gift of salvation. One of my favorite Bible commentators is a man named Warren Wiersbe. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe said this, talking about Jesus and imputation. When Jesus died on the cross, all our sins were imputed to him, put to his account. He was treated by God as though he had actually committed those sins. The result is the sins of the world by Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead means that the sins of the world have been paid for. And that's an exciting position to be in when you realize that that includes you. Your sins have been paid for. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you've been washed clean. And it gives us a new position. In Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions," that's another way of saying sins, "is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord," and here's the key, "accounts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit." Not only do we now have a new account, our account now is not full of our sins. It's been made clean and made new. We also now have a new citizenship. Many of you have come from other countries. And although I don't sound like it, I was born in Australia. And many of you have come from other countries. And when you arrived in Australia, you have to apply eventually for citizenship. And some of you have dual citizenship, where you are citizens of two countries. And that's something that I enjoy. Because of my parents and their birth and my accent, I have dual citizenship between the United States and Australia. So I carry two passports. But many of you, when you became citizens of Australia, you did a thing where it's called renouncing your citizenship. And before I become a politician, I'll make sure that I renounce all my U.S. citizenship so that I don't get kicked out of Parliament. But you renounce your citizenship. So you're no longer part of that country. You no longer answer to them. You no longer can enjoy the benefits of that previous country. You can only enjoy the benefits and the wonderful benefits of Australia. And the thought behind that with a new citizenship, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, "Our citizenship is in heaven." In Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, it says, "And you who were once alienated." You ever thought of yourself as an alien? Well, the Bible says that you were once aliens. "You were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. And he has now reconciled his body of flesh in his death in order to present you," it says there, "holy and blameless and above reproach before him." We now have a new citizenship. We are now new people. We no longer carry around, in a sense, the passport of our past. We now carry around our new citizenship, which is now heaven. And it's a different way of thinking. And the Apostle Paul, in this passage in Colossians, gives us, we were once alienated, we were once hostile in mind, we were once doing evil deeds, but now, because of our new citizenship, what does it say there? We have now reconciled in this body of flesh by his death. And it says that now we're holy, we're blameless, and above reproach. That means no one can bring charges against you. Being above reproach means there's no charges on your account at all. And it's an exciting position, an exciting way to live. There's a very small book in the New Testament called Philemon. And if you just flip through your Bible really quick, you'll miss it, because it's only 25 verses long. And the book of Philemon, you'll find it between Titus and Hebrews. And in these 25 verses, it's written by the Apostle Paul again to a man named Philemon, hence the name of the book. And Philemon was a man who had had something done against him that was wrong. He had a slave or a bond servant, that was entrusted to him that had stolen from him and had run away. And this servant's name was Onesimus. And Onesimus was a man who bumped into, really providentially by God, with the Apostle Paul, heard the truth of the gospel, came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, but still had his past. And Paul wrote this letter to Philemon asking for him to forgive Onesimus of his debt. And don't look at him as a servant anymore or a slave, but to look at him as a fellow brother in Christ. And in Philemon verses 15 and 16, we see this, the fact that we have a new relationship. And we see this imputation lived out. It says there in verses 15 and 16, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more of a bondservant, as a beloved brother. And go down to verse number 18. Paul says here, this man Onesimus, he hurt you. He stole from you. He ran away, and according to Roman law at this time, Onesimus actually deserved to be killed. He deserved death. That was a penalty to be a runaway slave. And this is what Paul says in verse number 18. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, which he knew he had wronged him, he knew that he owed him, charge that to my account. The Apostle Paul said, if this man's hurt you at all, if he owes you anything, put it onto my account. Paul was doing exactly what Jesus Christ has done for the entire world, what only Jesus Christ could do for us. He said, all your sin, everything from your past and also from your future, he says, put it on my account and I'm going to pay for it. That gives us a totally different way of looking. So because we've been reconciled with God, we now have a new relationship with God. We are no longer separated from him. We sang this morning, I appreciate Adam choosing it because it's one of my favorites, the song, No Longer Slaves, thinking we are no longer slaves of our sins, no longer slaves of our past. We are now new creations in Christ. Not only are we have a new relationship, we also have a new responsibility. And this is where this kind of goes from being wonderful news to practical news. We can begin living this out. The new responsibility, we see the responsibility of a ministry of reconciliation. In verse 18, it says, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Because of what's been done to you, what can you now do for others? You think about the wonderful gift that you've been given in many different areas of life. We've all been blessed in different areas. We've been blessed with our abilities. We've been blessed with our finances, blessed with our opportunities. And we've been blessed with them simply to keep them for ourselves and go, aren't I not good? Look at all my blessings. Now, whether or not you feel blessed or not, you begin to stop and evaluate God's working in your life. We have all been blessed in some capacity. Not necessarily to the levels of others, but that's not the point. We have certainly been blessed. Well, we now have a new responsibility. And this passage here calls it a ministry of reconciliation. Because we've been reconciled with God, we want to share that reconciliation, share that change in our lives with other people also. It's called a new ministry. In that passage in verses 18 and 19, it says, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It says there on the screen, verse number 18, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, notice, what is the ministry of reconciliation? That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. So God did his part, not counting their trespasses against them. And this is our part. And entrusting us the message of reconciliation. We now have not only a new ministry, we have a new message to share. One of the most unhelpful things to do, if you knew the directions to a certain location. Let's make it, you know, directions to my house. If you knew the directions to my house and somebody said, I'm lost, I'm trying to find Michael's house, and you go, Well, that's too bad. I hope you find it. You first of all, jerk. The other side is, you think that's logical. If you know where somebody lives, of course you're going to say, let me show you where they live. Let me explain it to you. Let me do my very best. I'm going to get my phone out and show you on the map. That's a silly illustration to go back to something that's really practical in our lives. If you have the message of reconciliation, the message of the way that the world can know God, to have their sins forgiven, and our world is out there desperately crying out, we need help. We need a purpose in life. We need a reason for existence. Just this week, I know of two celebrities that were in the newspaper this week that committed suicide. Both multimillionaires, both seemingly happy people on the outside. And you go, what happened? Finances don't make people happy. Circumstances certainly don't make people happy. Relationship with God makes people have purpose. Because it gives us purpose not just for now, but for eternity. And we begin to apply that to our lives. And our world is knocking on our doors saying, will you please show me the way to God so I can be changed and have that reconciliation with Him? And we go, well, I hope you find it. Let me challenge you. If you look for opportunities, God will make them very, very clear to you. There's opportunities all around us to share the wonderful good news of Jesus with others. Let me challenge you. Do not let them pass you by simply saying, well, I hope you find it, or I'll be praying for you. Take the opportunity. Maybe you need to study your Bible and find the verses in the Bible that talk about how we can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you need to, you know, I'll happily help you, and I'll give you some resources to study. Now, and you can know how you can share the good news with somebody else. And I believe I would be totally remiss if I didn't give an opportunity right now. If you don't know what is going to take place in your eternity, if you don't know if you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, today can be that day. The Bible says that God loves you, that He cares for you. In fact, the Bible says the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. If you believe in your heart that God is who He says He is, that He sent Jesus to die for your sins, the Bible simply says that you accept it or you receive that gift for yourself. It doesn't say you pay a certain amount. It doesn't say that you do a bunch of good works and good deeds. It says that you simply receive it for yourself. Many people pray a prayer. I remember when I was a young person, and I accepted Christ as my Savior, I prayed a prayer. It was a verbal acknowledgement of the fact that I wanted that relationship with God. I wanted that free gift of salvation. But the prayer doesn't save you. It's not like an abracadabra magic words that we have to say. It's the believing in your heart that does the saving. And you can do that right where you are today. You can say to God, God, I believe who you are, who you say you are. I believe you sent Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross and save me from my sin. I want to be, and you can use the big word, reconciled if you wish, reconciled to you. And if at the end of the service, we will not embarrass you, but you come see me at the end of the service and allow us to celebrate with you and be an encouragement to you. It's not hard to share the good news with people. It's a wonderful good news. When you've received a good gift, you want to share that good gift with others. That new message in verse number 19 says, entrusting to us the ministry or the message of reconciliation has to do with the fact that we're going to take it personal. I have a friend who used to be my neighbor here in Dialup who was from the New South Wales Victoria border, and he worked on a bridge that went over the Murray River, and he would go back and forth over that bridge with his family, and he has young children, and he would tell his kids, I built that bridge, because he was part of the construction crew. And his kids called that bridge Dad's Bridge, and he, of course, proudly accepted that. In a similar way, we didn't build the bridge between us and God, but we're going to take ownership of it. We're going to claim it for ourselves. That's my bridge. That's my Jesus. That's my ministry. It's not for somebody else. It's my ministry. And I believe that when we've been reconciled with God, we are, as quite literally as the Bible says there, we are a new creation. We have a new relationship and a new responsibility. Let me give you that principle again. It says, I am made new because of my relationship with God through Jesus. If you've been made new today, it's a fact, not necessarily just a feeling, that you are not only redeemed, you are now reconciled to God. You've been made new. You have a new relationship. And next Sunday, we're going to be looking at the fact that Jesus Christ comes alongside us and restores us. He makes our relationship new, and he gives us a new purpose in life. I'm going to close with three questions for you, and then the musicians will come and lead us in a final song of worship. The questions are this. First of all, do you have a relationship with God? Have you placed your trust upon Jesus Christ as your Savior? No one can do that for you. That has to be between you and God. The second is, what is God telling you that he wants to change? I always find this much easier to answer for somebody else than it is for me. So for just a moment, think about yourself. Is God telling you a certain area of your life that you need to direct differently, that you need to change? Not for somebody else, because that's easy. What about for you? Let me challenge you with that you will commit to obey God as he makes you new, because I firmly believe with all my heart that that is where true joy, happiness, contentment, and purpose in life comes, by simply living and being the person that God created you to be.